Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening. Good evening. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I am glad you tuned in. Well, we've been away for a while. I've been seeking the Lord for 2024, and then I went to visit and spent time with my son and his family in Newport, Virginia, and we just thank and praise the Lord. Had the opportunity to spend some time with my first great grand, and I'm just thanking and praise the Lord because the Lord is so good. You know, in spite of everything that's happening in Israel and all over the world, we still have so many things that we can be thankful for. The Bible tells us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants us to be thankful, and we should always give thanks to the Lord. Not give thanks for the bad things that happened, but give thanks to God because God is still good. And once I came into the knowledge to know that it's an act of we are free moral beings. In other words, God give us a free will, and God is not going to violate or override our will. And a lot of times, whenever we choose to rebel and go contrary to what the laws and the principles of God say, it is consequences. I mean, you know, God done already put things, have established a thing for the earth, but there too again, when God gave mankind a choice, and when we choose, because God have laws established on this earth, when we choose to violate the laws and principles of God, there's consequences that gonna come. And there too again, that's why it's so important, and I am so grateful to the Lord that God had it fixed through Jesus, that whosoever will, let him come. If we will to serve the Lord, and we get in his word, according to Matthew 6 and 33, the Bible tells us to seek the kingdom, seek God and his kingdom first. And when we really, when we get born again, and we really get in the word of God and get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to us the laws and principles of God, or better yet, God's way of doing things. And when we do things the way God say do it, I don't want you to think once you get born again and you start living for God, everything is going to be good. No, not without opposition. Because the Bible tells us that the enemy, who is Satan, the devil, come to steal, kill, and to destroy. We're going to always have opposition. But the thing about it that I love about being saved and accept Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I don't have to do life by myself. I don't have to do this walk by myself. The Lord is always with me, and I'm forever praising and thanking the Lord for the Holy Spirit that abides on the inside. You know, Jesus told his disciples before he ascended, he told them to go to the upper room in Jerusalem. He said, and stay there until you endure with power, receive the promise. And I am so grateful to all who we that receive and believe on Jesus. And we are candidate for the Holy Spirit. And once we receive the Holy Spirit, according to the Gospel of John, he would lead and guide us into all truth. He would tell us things about Jesus. In other words, he would make the word of Jesus a reality. He'll make it real to us. So there too again, I just thank and praise the Lord for this day. And I'm expecting that Apostle Armstrong will be joining us sometime this evening. But again, I just thank and praise the Lord for you. And tell the rest of them, you know, Prophet Miller is back. Yes, she was away for a while seeking the Lord and visiting her family, but she is back. And I tell you, God is still speaking. And I want you to be encouraged. God is still speaking. Listen at me good. And God wants you to be encouraged. I'm going to talk about prophecy tonight. I'm feeling led to talk about that. I did a little bit before on the 20th. But when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he said a great and a grand door was open to him, but with many adversaries. One translation said many opponents. And I'm finding out, and a lot of people don't realize that God do have prophets in this hour, in this time. So we're going to pray, and we're going to get in the word. And as I stated, I trust that Apostle Armstrong will be joining in with us. Father, in the master's name of Jesus, again, we want to say thank you. We bless you. We praise you. I thank you, Father, right now for this broadcast and broadcast all over the world. And, Father, I pray for the hearers, those that you have led to tune in. I pray, Father, that you would bring encouragement to their heart. And those that had prophecy, that you would give them some knowledge, some enlightenment about how to do warfare for their prophecy and the ones that are going to be coming in the future. I thank you, Father. I decree on this broadcast that the enemy is defeated. I decree that the blood of Jesus cover each and every one, those listeners to this broadcast this evening. I decree that enlightenment and understanding will be given to those. I even rebuke and come against discouragement. I rebuke discouragement, heavy grief. I rebuke it in the master's name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will strengthen the hearts of your peoples. Even those that done lost loved one, I pray, Father, that you will strengthen their heart and give them peace. I pray that grace will be given to them that they will go on. Jesus said in St. John the 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Lord, help your people, comfort your people like no one else. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that been released over the airways, that he will bring the encouragement, the enlightenment, the peace, and healing to those that would tune in. I thank you because this broadcast is covered with the blood of Jesus. We bind up the spirit of deception. I bind up religion and tradition. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I stated, we said we're going to talk about prophecy, because some people don't believe in prophets and they don't believe in prophecy. So if you don't believe in prophecy, you can't believe in prophecy. Okay, it started in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I want you to go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I will be reading from my my New Living Translation. Anyone know Prophet Miller? Prophet Miller. Well, I think you just joined us, Apostle Armstrong. Is that you?
Yes, I am here. I was detained a little by a friend of ours that husband is going through transitioning.
Okay.
But I'm here.
We're glad. We're going to be talking about prophets and prophecy. That's what the Lord told me. We're coming to the end of 2023. And so we're going to be talking about prophets and prophecy. Believe it or not, ever since Jesus ascended on high, according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I want you to read it. Some people don't believe. They believe when Jesus ascended, they did away with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I found out for a long time, some people, even today, some people only honor the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Some still don't honor the apostles and the prophets. But according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, Jesus brought in, added the apostles and the prophets. And so they are part of the body as well, So I'm going to try to bring some light, some enlightenment to the people pertaining to prophets and prophecies, because like I said, We living in that time. And if you excluding the apostles and the prophets, you missing out. Yes, you are missing out on a blessing. Okay?
Yeah.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to read it. I want to take my time with this because I find out sometimes we can rush through something and people don't comprehend what we're saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
because from now on, well, ever since Jesus ascended on high, he gave us the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But y'all, as the time draw near for Jesus to come, the enemy going to be fighting like never before. Yes, he been fighting, but it going to increase. But we
mm-hmm.
need to know that God have not left us hopeless and helpless. So in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, as I stated, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Now, I read it from the Message. I read it from the Amplified, but for the air, I'm going to read it from the Living Translation. I'm going to begin reading at that first verse. And this was, these are words as Apostle Paul was shared. And I thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Paul. If you study the Pauline epistle, as some call it, Apostle Paul epistle, you will find out he had a great revelation. He had a great revelation of Jesus and the things to come. At that time, what he said was coming. We living in the manifestation of what he prophesied that would come. We living in that time. But in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other faults because of your love. Always keep yourself united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourself together with peace. We are all one body. We have the same spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's only one God and the Father who is over us all, in us all, and living through us all. However, he have given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the height, he led a choir of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it said he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to the Lord's world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that his name might fill the entire universe. Now, I want you to pay attention to these next verses. He is the one who gave. Now, he talking about Christ. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church. Now, listen, we ask the body of Christ. We're in the dispensation of Christ. We went through the time period that we was in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the prodigal, the Pentecostals, the Baptists, each one of these different denominations. Each one, believe it or not, at that time, if you study the beginning of history about the church, but in each one of different dispensation manifests itself. But we in we're in the dispensation of Christ, and we need to know as a body. We is the body of Christ, not you by yourself. You have some, Jesus even made mention. He said, I have sheep of other fold. And he had to let them disciples know that because when the disciple made this remark at one time, Jesus, someone on the, is using your name, they're cashing out there. He said, leave them alone. He said, I have sheep of other fold. And this is something the enemy have, I don't want to get away from a sudden, but the enemy have used the word denomination to bring division and separation. You got
That's right.
We don't do it this way. Listen, if you don't name the name of the Lord, you are part of the body of Christ. Better yet, we is considered the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you cannot box the kingdom of God in. You don't have enough room. We all over the place. The kingdom of God is not based on your race. Well, really, it's only one race. It's the human race. Now, you the enemy got people. You got the black. You got this. Y'all, it's only one race, and it's the human race. And it's only two kinds of, you got the believers and you got the unbelievers.
If we stick with
the Bible, we can eliminate a lot of this division. But anyway, he said he is the one who gave these gifts to the church. Now he's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the apostles, that's plural. The prophet is plural. The evangelist is plural. The pastor is plural. And the teacher. Then he go on and tell us the responsibility of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teachers. We have a responsibility. I want you to hear me. We have a responsibility. And some people that misinterpreted it. They've been misguided, and some look at these gifts as some luxury. It's nothing luxury about these gifts. I better get these office. Some should give some off. It's nothing luxury office. About it. It's nothing luxury. Why you say it's nothing luxury about apostles? Because let me tell you something. We all that operate in these offices, we going to suffer persecution. We going to experience opposition from the enemy. So it's nothing luxury about it, and we also going to give an account for it.
That's right.
Even said, every idle word that you speak, you're going to give an account for it. So I tell people, as I minister and mentor other apostles and other these offices, listen, first of all, you need to make sure that God called you into it. And we live in a time now, some were sent and some went. See, that's it. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? But he said in the 12th verse, he said their responsibility is to equip. Listen, their responsibility, who responsibility? The apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He said their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. We don't just, you know, show up, well, I'm a apostle, and, you know, I have experienced some things with people, you know, oh, I'm this and that. Yeah, but you need to know not only the responsibilities, I said, but the accountability for each one of these gifts, each one of these offices. It makes a difference when you come into the knowledge and the understanding. It's just like a father. God gave us father and mother, but they have a responsibility and accountability. And this is the part that sometimes the enemy, if people haven't been taught, the enemy have you to overlook the responsibility and the accountability of what God assigned or called you to do. You want to say something before we go any further, Apostle?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I was going back over the scripture, verse 2 through 7, I believe. And it lays out what I have been dealing with and the ministry that the Creator gave me. And ever since you affirmed my office of an apostle, my whole mindset and thought process has changed. Prior to that, it was more or less like more of a program. It was a problem, and the Creator gave me a vision, and within that vision, I was operating. But now I see it's a ministry, and each part of the ministry, I have to be mindful of how it's being carried out. And verse 2, I think this is the NIV, always be humble, gentle, and patient, bearing with one another in love. And see, sometimes we get there. See, Paul saw what was going on in Ephesians, what was going on in that church and in that body of Christ. And he was reaching out and speaking directly to those individuals about what they were not doing. And that struck me as you were going through that. If we don't understand the first seven, the first six from 2 to 7, then we cannot function in the bottom one anyway. And he goes on saying, making every effort to preserve the unity. And there's a situation going on right now in the ministry where we're making a special effort to try and reach this young lady to help her to stay strong and continue to grow. Because where she is, she is not where she needs to be in order to be able to function in the capacity that she's trying to function. You can't disciple others if you are vacillating. Go ahead.
I agree with you, Apostle. And that's why even with, you know, these gifts that you want to use terminology office, you have to be taught. You have to be trained. And the Holy Spirit, you know, God will put people in your life to help mentor you. But the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. That's one thing
that's
about
right.
me. I'm always reading about, I'm apostle prophet. And I'm always reading about the apostleship and the prophetic, because those are the areas that God, I operate in. But the thing that have really helped me over the years, when the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me the responsibility and the accountability of it. When you come into the, and I might not get into one, but the Holy Spirit leading us, but that's the thing about when the reality of it come to you by the Holy Spirit, it'll let you know this is something that you need to take serious. This ain't something
that's
that you can just go around and say, God said this, or God said this, or I'm this and I'm that. And even this why I love the way Paul, going back to what you said, how Paul started out, and he would come out being humble and gentle and being patient with one another. Because in these offices, none of us start operate in the maturity of it. We all start immature with it. And we all still becoming. We all still growing in these offices. And therefore, we going to make mistakes. Therefore, at times, we going to miss it. But the thing about it, to stay humble. If you miss it, you know, and the Lord help me with this, if I miss it, I don't have a problem with, and thank God for the Holy Spirit, thank God for grace, I missed it. But just because you missed it do not mean that you weren't called to a certain office or a gift. And that's something, and that's why I want to address when it comes down to the prophet, because, yeah, we got some false apostles. We got some false prophets. We got some false. We do have that, but a lot of times don't misinterpret or misunderstand it, because just because they immature, that don't mean they false. Because if they didn't give you an accurate word, you know, they gave you an inaccurate word, that do not mean that they was false. Now a lot of people, they'll go to Deuteronomy the 18th chapter and the, you know, the verses. But I'm going to try to stay within this limit, and maybe the Lord would just have us to discuss the first 10 verses before we get into that, because it is so important, you know, that people know the seriousness of this and not dishonor the apostle, the prophet, evangelist. You got to know how to honor them, you know. You don't go around and bash them, because, you know, if you got 12 apples, if you got one or two or three spore, you're not going to cash out, throw away all of them. Now, a wise person would just get rid of the ones that spore, you know. are the ones that damage. And so when we living in a time now, the enemy calls sometimes the true apostle, the true prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, he'll put them in the same boat with the ones that are false. And you're not supposed to do it that way. That's the point I really want to bring out and, you know, and go a little further with the prophets and the prophetic.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But anyway, it's there too again. Yes, sir?
I was going to say that's so important because one of the churches that I was affiliated with, they are misusing, the office has been misused. And if the little prophet would come into town, everybody would go flock to the prophet and give him caring gifts and everything to him, but neglecting that local pastor. Whenever that pastor is there to provide for them, mm-hmm, and to teach them and help them to understand what the role of the prophet is. And I just say that the pastor in that case did not adequately prepare the congregation to receive the prophet.
And there too, again, I find out, that's why I thank God for the late Apostle Ida Bell Parker. And that's she taught us on the Apostolic Reformation, as God was restoring the apostles and the prophets, you know, because like I said, for years, when I came in the kingdom, for years, all I heard about the evangelists, the pastor, and the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But as I think it was in the 90s, that God, if it's the eight of them, that God restored the apostles. And I think about it's the prophet. And there, too, again, we need to have a knowledge and understanding of both of them and how they function so that the people would know how to receive it as well as these offices know how to receive one another.
Right.
Know? And this is why Paul would even say in the beginning, he would even say, he's always in that third verse, he said, always keep yourself united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourself together with peace. And see,
mm-hmm,
God ain't never meant for division and strife to be among the body. But these are things the enemy have used, our lack of knowledge. He have used ignorance. He have used that to bring strife and division. And that's why I have heard some people say, well, Prophet Miller, when Jesus ascended on high, that did away with the apostles and the prophets. I said, that
mm-hmm
is not true. Because Apostle Paul was dealing with what was going on in the church's ethics, but even today, it's still going on. Some
still
of the same things he addressed then, the Bible says nothing new under the sun. We are dealing with the same thing. And see, the enemy,
mm-hmm,
and the enemy know wherever his division, he can handle the Holy Spirit from manifesting itself in the fullness of the way God wants. And this is something the Lord began to teach me early in ministry. He said, whatever you do, don't allow yourself to get inscribed and debate about the office. He said, if you know a brother, sister, any one of these operating in one of these offices, he said, and if they ain't living up to what they supposed to do, he said, don't blast them. He said, pray for them. If I need you to go speak to them in private, talk to them. He said, but don't blast them. He said, because the enemy will use that to keep y'all from working together. And it's easy to get it in strife and division. It's easy if you allow yourself. But we, like in Paul Bates, look at this bold statement when he said we. Paul kept saying we. He said in that foot verse, he said, we are all one body. And I find out a lot of saints, they still not operate in a body mentality.
That's right.
You want to say something on that note, Apostle?
Yes, ma'am. I used to tell people I'm a fourth generation Methodist, and that was it. I don't care about and that denomination thing. Put down walls and a ceiling and a floor. It didn't matter what was going on. That was where I was, and that's where I was going to stay. I was told, mm-hmm, I was an apostle And I was told I was a bishop, and those are the offices that I have. But being in that denomination, I couldn't see it. I could not see it. And but what happened, God placed people in my life that saw that in me, and they made that come into fruition. Just like when you, that Sunday, I looked at my wife, who is this woman? Talking about she's seen me. Where is she seen me? I don't know this woman. But you were clear. And the reason that I understood was one of my classmates in Illinois, she had spoke that into me in 1990. And we didn't have no apostles in the United Methodist denomination. I didn't know what she was talking about.
And see, there too again, like I said, even today we still have some people have not haven't experienced this knowledge and understanding, and they still speak against it. And we that know, we just have to be patient with them and pray. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, if you read in this entire, Apostle Paul began to talk about the gifts that operate in the body of Christ. And see, he even with the Corinthians, it was a lot of division going on. And like I said, as it was then, so is it now. But the thing about it now is we have more knowledge and understanding and revelation than they did, you know.
Right.
So there too again, because I'm looking at it right now in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to drop down to at the third verse. Here says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diverses of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are different administrations, but the same Lord, and the diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit wherewith. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another. But the point I want to make, he trying to let them know that the Holy Spirit is the one to give out these gifts, and he gives them according to what he would see that we need. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to drop down to that 12th verse. He said, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because, and see, even with this, if you read this in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, if you read the entire chapter, here to help you to understand, we the body. And see, the enemy want to take the we out and put me, or just a certain amount of people. No. If you done name, receive Jesus, your Lord, and say, you are part of the Lord Jesus Church. We are the body. And that's why I love Paul when he said, Jesus died for all races. And like I said, we said all races, but it's only the human race. And now some people said, well, I know what you're saying, but ain't no but in it. Whatever God says. And Revelation 22nd chapter, we're not supposed to add or take away from what God has said
anything.
In his word.
That's right.
But we live it in that time, New Age teaching, and we live it. My son and I, Pastor Ray, as we were sharing in Virginia, we was talking about in the time that we live, here's a lot of New Age information or teaching, if you want, New Age doctrine. And we have to be very careful, because we read there in Matthew 24 when Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Now, Jesus said this. He said, now, it's going to be many false prophet, and they're going to deceive many. But my thing in doing this is to help people to kind of know how to rightly divide, know how to be able to recognize when that when it's not of God. Because what did Paul say? Now, if I go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, what did Paul say? Now, this is what he said in the 13th verse. He said, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God that we would be mature, full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ, then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone have told us something different or because someone is so clever lying to us and made the lie sound like the truth.
Instead,
we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So there are children, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they is equipped, the body of Christ, to let them know who they are, or better yet, what Christ came to do, what Christ and how it benefit each one of us, how we supposed to operate on this earth as the body of Christ, as the sons of God, who we are, walk in our authority, and teach us and show us how we supposed to receive one another. You want to add anything?
What I'd like to add is that prophet didn't start with the New Testament. Prophet was in the Old Testament. God used the prophet to speak to the people. God used the prophet to discipline the people. And that's why we cannot walk around and talk about we are the New Testament church and that all we need to do is deal with what's in the New Testament. God, Jesus did not do away with the Old Testament. He fulfilled it based on those areas that it was prophesied that he would come and what he would be doing. He fulfilled that part. He didn't destroy the rest of it. The rest of it, it's just like a cake. If you take the sugar out of the cake, do you have a cake? No. You have something there that's bread that you can eat. It's not defined as a cake. And we do that. The Old Testament, what is the reference? What is the point of reference that we have? We lost it because God used the prophets.
Okay, I'm glad to. Now I was gonna go into that. If you go to Deuteronomy 13th chapter, and he began that talk about the prophets and idols. In Deuteronomy 13th chapter, I'm going to start at the first verse. I like to try to show people in the Word and let them know where they can go back and read it. They don't have to take – it's a suppose there are prophets among you of those who have dreams about the future, and they promise you signs and miracles and predict signs and miracles take place. If the prophets then say, come, let us worship the God of foreign nations, do not listen to them. Now, he would tell them how to discern a true prophet and a false prophet. In the 13th chapter, if you read in this entire, it was showing that if a prophet come to you and try to cause you to stray away from the only Lord, the only God, he said, don't listen at them. He was trying to tell you how to rightly divide it, okay?
Then you go to
Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. You go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, in that 15th verse. He said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, your fellow Israelite, and you must listen to the prophet, for this is what yourself requests of the Lord God when you was assembled. See, there too again, he's talking about how to discern a true prophet of God and a false prophet. And see,
right.
that's what I was going to go into, but I want to show them Like I said, go read Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter in its entirety. Go read Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. That'll even give you more insight. Because a lot of times, people, like I said, if a person, as a prophet, if they prophesy something and it don't come to pass, a lot of times people, the first thing they're going to label, that's a false. That's a false prophet. But you got to know how to be able to discern and how to recognize a true and a false prophet. That's why, like I said, I felt led to talk, because as we come into 2024, and as you stated, God do have prophets in the New Testament. It will prophesy. And that's why the foundation scriptures in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, what Paul was saying, that when after Jesus ascended, this is what Jesus gave gift. Now, Jesus walked in the fullness of all of it. He was the apostle. He was the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, I have heard some people say they walk in the full measure of all of them. I don't agree with that, and the reason why, if you walk in the full measure of all of them, why do we have need of them? I do believe that you can walk in a measure of them. Like, I believe if you went in a church and it wasn't no prophet there, or maybe God could allow you, as the Holy Spirit will, according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Holy Spirit can give you a prophetic word. He can give you a word like evangelist to shake the people up, to stir them up. He can give you for why a shepherd heart, you know, the shepherd is the one that loves the people, and you know what I'm saying? And they kind of, you know, I tell them all the time, they kind of patty cake people, that, you know, compared to a prophet, because a prophet going to go in, but a prophet is subject to that pastor or whoever is over that ministry. We are subject to them. And even if we have a rebuke message that we can share with the pastor, and that pastor will decide whether they want you to share with their congregation. And if the pastor said no, well, guess what? That you got to obey that, because the Bible said we are supposed to be subject to whoever in charge. And there, too, again, that's why I said when it comes down to operate in these gifts or these office, you got to know how to conduct yourself. One is no better or no more than the other one. And each one of the apostles is not more than the prophet. The prophet is not more than the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. But we work together. When we come together, we're supposed to honor and respect one another, not in competition with one. See, that's not the spirit of God. And this is what the enemy done tried to take these gifts and these offer and try to make them be in competition, being jealous of one another. I'm a prophet. I'm apostle prophet, but do you not know I'm not no more than a pastor or a teacher? God don't love me no more than he loved them. But we supposed to work together, and as I stated, this is something the enemy have filed these office and gifts with. Oh, honey, I know more than this one. I can do. We don't need that one. That you got me. That's not the spirit of God. We don't have anything to boast about. The only thing we can boast about is the grace of God. But I can say this, and I wanted to share. When it comes down to the prophets in the Old Testament and the prophets in the New Testament. Now, when you really study Deuteronomy the 13th, Deuteronomy the 18th chapter, and other chapters about the prophets, when them prophets would do something wrong, they could be put to death. If you said, but in this New Testament, the prophets we under grace, an extension of grace. God, we walk into every one of these gifts. We operate in the grace. But as Paul said, grace is not a license to sin. Grace, you know, a lot of people, in some grace message I don't agree with. Yes, sir.
No, I was agreeing that it is not a license to sin. That's what I'm disagreeing with you.
Okay. But anyway, as I stated, that's why I said we need to have some knowledge and understanding about it, you know. I hear people say certain things, and it just grieves my spirit because, you know, I tell people even when I go to some churches, you don't have to fear this gift. This gift ain't trying to, it's not here to make the pastor look bad, but it's to help the pastor as well as to help the members in the church. They're not there to make, and I think you mentioned this in the beginning when you were saying about that when that prophet came to town, everybody flopped. And see, there too again, a lot of times when I go in church and people know I'm a prophet, they say, what the Lord said? And God gave me this word. God never told us to live by prophecy alone. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out the mouth of God. And if a prophet come in telling you something that don't line up with the word, that's why it's so important. I mean, if it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, anyone, if that's why it's so important. We need to read the word. We need to know what the word of God's saying. And we need to really get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. Now, don't get me wrong. We all, each one of these offer, we walk in the level of grace of teaching, instruction. But the Holy Spirit is the teacher of us all. We need to get, people need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to help us to understand the word, the written word of God. Either one. But if you don't know what the words say, now they always told me if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for
anything. You're going to fall for anything. That's right.
And that's why it's so important, you know. I mean, as I travel, a lot of time I go in churches, I don't tell people I'm a apostle. I don't tell them I'm a prophet. I don't do that. I just go in there, ask the Lord, and sometimes they'll call me out. You got to be. I sent you this. I just look at them. Because there, too, again, I'm not in battle with you. I'm in a battle with the enemy of all of our souls. And this is what God gave these gifts for us to team up as a team and fight against the enemy and not one another. And that's why even, and I'll probably get in this in the, maybe next, probably Monday, ask the Lord, leave me. I'm going to work on this as long as he allow me, because God wants us to work together. Psalms 133,
right.
It tells us how the oil from Aaron's beard come down. And y'all, I'm telling you, as we ask the body of Christ get rid of all of this competition, this jealousy, this fear of strife and division, if we get rid of that, we're going to see a move of God like never been, or better yet, we're going to have a move like the hand in the upper room, you know. But see, anything that is of God, the enemy going to always fight it. He's going to always fight it. But like I said, when you really go in Deuteronomy, read Deuteronomy 13 chapter, as I stated, Deuteronomy 18 chapter, because I've had some people even tell me, well, they gave me a prophecy and it didn't come to pass. First of all, you need to know, when you get a prophecy, you need to know that you're going to have to do warfare. And this time, I think it's in 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, about the 18 and 19 verse, when Paul told Timothy that he had to do warfare for the prophecy that was given to him. And see, some people don't realize, the prophecy ain't just going to automatically come to pass. It's some things we have to do in order for that prophecy to come to pass. Because the enemy is going to go to the extreme measure to try to discredit you anyway. Not only the word of God, but the enemy going to try to discredit the fivefold minister gifts. So there, too, whenever you receive a prophecy, you got to do warfare. What you mean, prophet? No. Warfare means if you know that you know that it came from God. Now, I have heard some people say if it's a true prophecy of God, you already know. That is not true. If it's because sometimes God give a prophet, I have received prophecy, and God has spoke nothing to me about it.
That's right.
I mean, if you know, and that's why I said you got to know how to rightly divide it, because like I said, when you study some of them, and it's many of them in the Bible, remember when to a certain degree Jesus prophesied about Lazarus. And what he said that Lazarus was asleep. And then now he said, this sickness is not unto death. But guess what? According to them, Lazarus was dead. But then he went on to wonder. He went on told he was dead. First he said, "What they say, sleep." Then he turned around and told them, "You know, he was dead." But see, my point is this: a lot of times God can give you a prophecy that it might take years. Look how many years everything that was prophesied about Jesus in the four gospels, it was happening. But look how many years took place before those prophecies were fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It was years, right?
That's right. But we're in the McDonald's society now. We go there, we want our... When do you want it? Now. I gave you my card, and so now I'm supposed to have it. So we don't have patience anymore. Everything is a drive-by. You drive up there, and the line long, you get bent out of shape about it. You don't have patience. You're not humble. We are people of impatience.
But see, that's another reason I feel led to talk about this, because I'm sensing in my spirit, in 2024, all the way up until Jesus comes, a lot of people that had prophecy over the years, and a lot of they wasn't fulfilled. And it wasn't so much that it was a false prophecy as much as were a lot of people don't understand that you have to do warfare with prophecy. I had to learn that. I just thought, and it just like anything else in the Bible, the word of God don't just automatically happen. It's certain things. First, we got to believe. Then we have to do our part. And see, a lot of people, the Bible tell us to hope deferred. We got a lot of people, when it come down to personal prophecy, they living in hope deferred. And it's a hope deferred makes you sick. I would believe in God that didn't happen. And that's why we have some people. I don't want to hear nothing about God. It ain't never a false prophet. All of them are lying. All the pastors. You can't do that. You can't
do that.
Yeah, we got to be able to recognize the false and separate the truth from the false. And don't let the false cause you to stop trusting in what God's word say about the truth. You know? So there too again, that's why this is so important that we need to understand. And we got to realize, even with my son in Virginia, and I said, you got a baby apostle. And you know, we got baby apostle, baby prophet, baby evangelist, baby teachers. And you know, and what you're saying, I'm not saying when I said a baby, that means that they going to make mistakes. You know, they don't miss it, but go right back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We got to be patient with one another. You know? And if you really sense it to the Holy Spirit and you a student of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will help you. He will bring knowledge and understanding. He will really reveal to you who true and false. He'll let you know. You know,
that's
just
right.
Like if I say something about you, and I said it in the wrong spirit, the Holy Spirit said, "Now, you shouldn't have said that. You didn't say it in the right spirit." The Holy Spirit will convict us. He don't condemn us. Now, my heart will condemn me, but the Holy Spirit will convict me so that, okay, you need to repent. You know, once we repent, thank God for Jesus, we can repent. But that's why I said when it comes down to dealing with these fivefold obviously, they is a blessing to the body of Christ. They are there to be a blessing, not to hurt you. But they're too good. They're not going to take the place of the Holy Spirit. And we need to realize that. And that's why I try to tell people, you need to get acquainted with them. Yes, sir. We got 1 minute. It's 16
You
got to come up.
Okay. Well, what I wanted us to close with was with the prayer for the person, the family that I was talking to, the reason I was late, is John and Ruth Abercrombie. The Ruth is really going through because her husband's health is deteriorating, and she's struggling with it. And her husband, he's struggling with it as well. and that family, there's a piece of shalom need to be placed there because the enemy is attacking them. Their furnace went out. So the enemy is attacking them right now with their house, and she's trying to get him to just go on and sell the house because the house is 20-some years old, and things are starting to break. It break down, and it's beginning to be too costly for them to really to live comfortably in it.
It's 6:55:22.
Okay.
Okay.
All
Father,
right.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift this couple up before you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And first,
yes,
I take authority over Satan. I bind
mm-hmm.
you, Satan, that is
yes.
torment and harassing this couple right now. Father, you say it's no distant in prayer. Father, we speak and we send shalom. I speak.
Mm-hmm.
I command that this storm in their life be still right now. I
yes.
command it to cease in the name of Jesus. I pray,
mm-hmm.
Father, that you will bring the people in their life that will help them in this situation. Now, Father,
mm-hmm.
I just thank you and I praise you that it's done. You said where any two touches
is done.
You said whatever
yes.
we bind, whatever we forbid, whatever we and it's unlawful, and we forbid Satan to continue to torment and take advantage of this couple. Now we speak
mm-hmm.
shalom, we command shalom,
yes.
and we
shalom.
Thank and we decree, Father,
yeah.
that the Holy
yes.
Spirit is stirring someone's heart and causing
mm-hmm.
that person to go visit this family, even through a
mm-hmm.
phone call, even coming to the house. But we thank you for intervening in this situation
mm-hmm.
now, in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Yes, Jesus'
amen.
Name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister.
Everyone. We want to thank each and every one for tuning in, and we ask you to remember us. We're going to continue with this on Monday after the Lord allows. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Shalom.
Shalom.